is no ordinary episode of Popular Mechanics for Kids.
You're about to see some of our grossest. Weirdest.
One pretty. Good.
Creepiest.
Most dangerous. And coolest adventures.
All wrapped up into one great show.
That's why we call it our greatest hits.
It's Popular Mechanics for Kids.
Our greatest hits, Volume 3.
And I'm Alicia, and today's show is a collection of some of our most amazing adventures. So, Tyler, what has been your most favorite adventure so far?
I'd have to say breakdance. Man, it was amazing. They did stuff with their body I didn't even know was humanly possible.
Were you able to do it?
Now you try.
Well, let's just say I've never been known for dancing.
What's up, Tyler? How you doing?
You guys are amazing.
Thanks. Hey, you guys want to take a break
Vietnam
for a few minutes?
Vietnam is a member of Rock Force, the world's best breakdance crew.
What? Well, I think he needs some lessons from Bionic Man. He's an expert on the subject.
What's up?
All right, we're going to try the wave first. You know, remember what you tried to do in the beginning? It's 11 steps. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. All together now.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man.
Next, I learn how to do the ghost.
Be stiff. Yeah.
Enough practice. Let's break. Now that's dancing.
So what was your favorite adventure, Alicia?
Well, my favorite adventure so far has to be the Incredible Hulk coaster in Universal Studios' Islands of Adventure. Because I had to do this one line on the coaster, and the coaster shot me out right away, and it was so unpredictable. But it was a lot of fun.
Well, you ready for your big moment?
Yep. I hope I don't turn Hulk green.
As soon as you're ready to take on Hulk, give him the thumbs up.
We'll go.
A coaster is predictable. You know that after a climb up a hill, you're gonna zoom down the other side. On the Hulk, you get blasted away when you least expect it.
Even green.
I'm not green. I am fine. I want to do it again.
Ride it as much as you want.
What makes the Hulk different is that it accelerates uphill with the same thrust as an F-16 fighter jet. It's like being fired out of a cannon. In another part of the ride, I thought it was crashing in the water. But it's actually 12 water cannons that create the illusion. What makes it all go? Well, you can forget about plugging it in. The heart of the Hulk is in here.
It runs on 4 loud generators that can power a small city. That's 12,000 homes.
The generators power these wheels on the track. The wheels shoot the train out of the launch tunnel like a bullet.
There it goes.
Wow.
Taking off.
Then there's all that creepy stuff you got to do.
I mean, had to do. I wouldn't exactly call fist-sized tarantulas fighting on my leg one of my best memories. They were just sitting there, and all of a sudden they started eating each other right on my leg. And then the rest of them started going crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, I was freaked out.
This is Brian Whiteley. He's a doctor and biochemist.
Hi, Tyler.
Hey.
I have over 50 species of tarantulas in my house, and this is Theraphosa blandi from South America. It's one of the world's largest.
It's huge!
In fact, each of the species has a little different venom, and I specialize in extracting the venom for companies that make medicine.
Brian does what's called milking the tarantula. But he's not getting milk. He's getting poison. Spiders use their poison, it's also called venom, to kill their prey. But what's bad for a tarantula's lunch might be good for people. The venom could contain ingredients that can be used to make medicine. This little hairy guy may help us find a cure for epilepsy and other similar diseases.
Here, Tyler, why don't you give it a try?
Okay, so I have to make it breathe carbon dioxide first, right?
Right, that'll make it groggy and lose muscle control.
Okay, here we go. Sweet dreams. There we go. To extract the venom, you have to use electricity, but not much. 30 volts only, just enough to cause the muscles surrounding the venom glands to contract.
Here I'll show you one of my centipedes. Though it's never been done before, I'm trying to develop a way to extract venom from them, although it's not easy because they're so aggressive.
Is that an earthquake?
Probably.
What happened?
I think we've got a problem. Relax, Tyler, but don't move. I'll take care of it. Just don't move. Relax, Tyler, but don't move.
So, Vanessa, what was your creepiest adventure?
It would have to be the time we went to Thrillvania, the scare park. And my director, without me knowing, had set up somebody to scare me. So I was just finishing my line when this huge guy dressed up in a werewolf suit came up behind me with a chainsaw. I was so scared, I screamed and jumped on the cameraman.
I'm in Terrell, Texas, where it's usually not this creepy. This is Thrillvania, a theme park. But it's no ordinary theme park. It's meant to scare people.
Believe it or not, Vanessa, they say that this house is haunted with real ghosts.
Really?
For real.
Whoa. Pretty good.
That's the first rule of scaring people, is to create an environment and atmosphere that makes them feel uneasy or on edge.
It all sets the mood. So when they do go in for the scare, it has a much bigger effect on you.
Look out!
Those pop-outs come so close, they invade your personal space. It's like too close for comfort.
That combined with the sudden shock of the unexpected is what can terrorize a person.
This is the sawmill. Normally you'd see trees and cut up pieces of wood here, but body parts? It's disgusting.
That's what we call horror scare. We expose people to things they want nothing to do with.
That would put them on edge. It's just the kind of thing you don't want to touch because it's just too gross.
That's what we call terror scare.
That scared me.
It makes you feel like you're in danger of losing your life. Good dog.
We like to keep PMK a little weird. Well, that's why Tyler was hired. I mean, he went swimming in a mermaid costume.
Hey, it was really hard to do, and the water was so cold. This is Weeki Wachee Spring Theme Park, the only underwater stage in the world.
Twice a day, they perform a play here. It's called The Little Mermaid. She wants legs. To get accepted, I had to show that I was able to hold my breath for at least 30 seconds.
Congratulations, bud, you made it. It takes more than that to be an underwater performer, though. Follow me to the tube room.
You make the cut. You have to train every day for 3 months before you get to perform in front of an audience.
During the play, the actors have to stay underwater for as long as 30 minutes, but they don't hold their breath. They breathe through air hoses.
Why don't you go ahead and put your mask on and we'll try to get in the water and do some exercises.
Through the tube, I get to the main stage.
All right, now we're gonna practice a ballet move, okay? I want you to do the pike.
Go ahead and keep your feet straight. Your toes pointed. And go ahead and round in a circle. Hey, that was pretty good. You just want to keep your legs locked next time. Now you're ready for the most difficult part.
Swimming with a tail. It's the hardest part of being an underwater performer.
Now, keep swimming. Use your arms. Swim pretty.
Remember, actors have to train for 3 months before appearing in the show. But Derek feels that I'm ready for a part in the performance after only 1 day of practice. And not just any part. The Charming Prince.
I wonder what it would be like to have legs instead of this tail.
Love does conquer all, on land and in the sea. And we are the loving proof.
Not bad for 1 day of school.
Then there was adventures that we had to have strong stomachs for. I had to do an experiment on the wood frog. While I was trying to find one, I found a salamander and it was all squishy and gooey and gross. Then when I found the wood frog, I couldn't finish my line because it kept jumping out of my hands. But in the end, it worked out fine.
Today, we're going to be conducting a frog freezing experiment. But first, we need the right kind of frog, a wood frog.
This is no frog, this is a salamander.
It's a spotted salamander.
Well, keep looking for a wood frog.
Okay.
You found one, a wood frog, Rana sylvatica.
It's kind of small.
Oh, they're small, but it's one special frog. You know, in the winter, salamanders hide deep underground, but these ones just stay underneath the leaf litter on the surface.
And freezes?
Yep.
Solid.
Like a rock. Here, put it in the bag, and we'll take it back to the lab.
Hey, our froggy is trying to escape. Got him. Now we put him in the deep freezer for 20 minutes.
Let's take him out.
Okay. Well, he's frozen. And hard, too.
Robert and other scientists are trying to understand how the wood frog survives freezing, so they can learn how to freeze human organs without damage. If we could freeze human organs, more of them could be available for transplant options, and that would save lives.
Oh, look, Alicia, she's starting to breathe again.
Yeah, I can see him moving a bit. That's so cool.
I don't think Alicia would have had the stomach to do what you did, Vanessa, out in the Atlantic Ocean.
On the gutting fish adventure, I had already gutted like 5 fish. You cut them open, you see their liver, their stomach, their intestines. But on the last fish, I just cut it open and all of its breath is spilled out. It was so unexpected and so gross. Everybody was just puking over the side of the boat.
I'm about to find out how fish get from the ocean to your table. Hey, Edgar.
Hey, Vanessa.
A word of warning, being a professional fisherman is not for people who don't like getting slimy. So what next?
Uh-oh.
We have to clean the cod right on board, or they'll spoil.
All right, so what do I have to do here?
Cod is across the troll here. Cut it deep.
Deep? Oh.
Slip it back through the belly bar.
Oops.
That's his breakfast.
Ew. See all the fish in there? His breakfast. Oh, man. This job takes guts. Literally. Yummy.
We set the nets out again and then head back to the harbor.
Here at the plant where the fish are transformed into what you buy at the grocery store. This machine here cuts off their head.
This is an automatic fillet. You fit the fish's spine onto here and watch this. Then the cod is packed into boxes and frozen. It goes all over the world.
Hi, today's specialist cod?
I'll have that. I'm sure it's fresh.
There you go.
Thanks. So we meet again. This is how I like my cod, on a plate.
We also checked out some dangerous sports this season. You learned something about motorcycle racing.
Yeah, well, I learned when you're only 115 pounds and the motorcycle's near 500, It's really hard to control and you end up falling on your butt.
Did you fall a lot?
Oh, yeah.
This is Cape Cod Superbike School. Riders come from all over the world to learn how to handle these powerful machines without killing themselves.
Okay, this is my very first time.
So let's put our kickstand up, start the bike. Go for it. Gas, 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 gas.
This is so much fun!
Okay, one more lap, one more lap. Whoa, Tyler, are you okay? What happened?
Well, I was going really fast. I decided to turn, but then I never had enough space, so I hit the brake while I was turning, and then the bike flew out from under me, and I fell off.
Accidents happen when your tires lose contact with the road.
You're riding around on two contact patches on your tires. The front one's only probably about that big, and the one in the back is just a little bit bigger.
So to help riders get a feel for the road, the California Superbike School came up with...
Well, this is it, Tyler, the lean and slide bike.
This is it? Well, it just looks like a normal bike, but with high-tech training wheels.
Hop on. We'll give you a crash course. Throttle, throttle. Look ahead. Good.
The training wheels let me get a feel for how far I can lean in a turn before the motorcycle's tires will lose contact with the road.
Very good.
This is so much fun. Oh, man, I could ride it all day.
That's great, Tyler. Wait, where are you going?
Don't worry. I'm just going for a little ride.
Vanessa, tell us about the most dangerous activity you checked out.
It was with Doug Danger for sure. He was doing a 75-degree wheelie with me on the back of his motorcycle. If I wasn't strapped on, I'd be kissing the ground.
And you weren't scared?
I was too excited to even have time to think of being scared.
Straight, he's the daredevil. I'm the TV host.
Doug Danger's his name, and he holds the world record for farthest jump ever completed.
42 cars. That's almost as long as a football field. Doug has to keep his bike level. He controls it like a pilot flying a plane. If his bike starts to nosedive, he gives it some gas. The spinning back wheel pulls up the front end. Today's jump is going to be really special. Doug's gonna fly through a fireball explosion. And yours truly gets to set it off. We mix in the explosives and then wire up the detonator. If Doug does the jump right, he won't get burned. My job is to set off the firebomb as Doug flies over the ramp. If Doug lands short, he'll crash. That could be fatal. But if he overshoots the ramp, that's just as dangerous.
So don't try this at home.
Doug's gotta land on the ramp, right on target. Doug makes some final checks. And he's psyched. That was so cool.
Doug didn't get burned because he passed through the flame really quickly. He made a perfect jump.
That was, like, exhilarating.
That's why they call me Doug Danger.
That's why they call him Doug Danger.
We can't forget to include Charlie in our greatest hits show.
He looked at how performers are able to do these dangerous stunts.
Hi, and welcome to the new hit TV game show, Do Not Try This at Home. Here is your first question. Which one of these should you not try at home? A, eat an apple, or B, eat a light bulb?
Eat an apple?
No, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. The answer is, you should not eat a light bulb. We've all stepped on something sharp before, like a piece of glass. So when we see someone standing on 100 pieces, we automatically think it must hurt even more. But that's not necessarily true. Let's say my hand is my foot, and this nail is, well, a nail, all right? If I were to press down with all my weight on top of this one tiny point here, it would puncture my foot.
But if I were to press down on 135 nails, my weight would be evenly distributed throughout the 135 tiny little points here. It would still puncture my foot, but not as deep and not as fast.
It's the same thing with this glass.
Now, again, I am not telling you to go out there and stand on a pile of glass. No, that would be crazy. Now, the people that do these stunts are highly trained individuals. Okay, they would never, ever do anything stupid. But Charlie, you say, what about when people walk across the coals? How do they keep from burning their feet? Now, for starters, they use wood coal. And they are hot, but the really hot coals are underneath. On top, things tend to cool off rather quickly.
The sweat on their feet protects them a bit. And if they move quickly, their feet won't burn. You smell something burning?
There's no limit to what we'll do in the name of science and technology here at PMK.
We're going back on the road to bring you all new adventures.
See you next time.
Bye.
Coming on, guys. T-shirt.
Hey, go!